The Lord be with you.
And with your spirit.
A reading from the Holy Gospel according to John. Jesus said to Nicodemus, "Just as Moses lifted up the serpent in the desert, so must the Son of Man be lifted up, so that everyone who believes in him may have eternal life. For God so loved the world that he gave his only Son, so that everyone who believes in him might not perish, but might have eternal life. For God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world might be saved through him. Whoever believes in him will not be condemned, but whoever does not believe has already been condemned, because he has not believed in the name of the only Son of God. And this is the verdict, that the light came into the world, but people prefer darkness to light, because their works were evil. For everyone who does wicked things hates the light and does not come toward the light, so that his works might not be exposed. But whoever lives the truth comes to the light, so that his works may be clearly seen as done in God." The Gospel of the Lord.
So we celebrate this fourth Sunday of Lent, this Laetare Sunday. As we see, the color is a little different today. It reminds us also of Advent, Gaudete Sunday, the third Sunday of Advent, Laetare Sunday, the fourth Sunday of Lent. And those Sundays being placed where they are signify, of course, that the season that we're celebrating is slowly coming to a close. And next Sunday, of course, we begin what is traditionally called Passiontide, the last 2 weeks of Lent. So today we're joyful in the sense that we heard in the opening antiphon today, "Rejoice, Jerusalem," is where the word Laetare comes from. It's reminding us that salvation is near, that the sacrifice is very close. So we're grateful and we're joyful and we're even happy in a sense with that fact that the day of our redemption is at hand. And also we continue the series we began, of course, a couple weeks back. And the theme or the subject rather for this week was the idea of what they call intoxication with the world. Now, what does that mean? Of course, it means being intoxicated with the things of the world, with the material world, with what is around us and stuff like that, even the people sometimes. Being drunk on the world in another way, I guess you'd say. And how to understand that mentality and how it affects us. Well, what it does is it really changes how we approach our problems, how do we resolve issues, how do we deal with things, basically. It's like, you know, boiling water, for instance. And yes, I can cook that, so I do that. If it boils over, what do, right? You usually turn the heat off. But what happens when someone whose vision or idea or understanding of how to fix the problem is skewered? They'll just keep adding water and they won't turn the heat off. I'll solve that problem and I won't worry about the other one. And that's kind of what intoxication with the world does. It takes our mind off what the real issue is, the real solution to the problem, and gives us some temporary fix, some band-aid, I guess you'd say. If you keep pouring water in, then you'll still have water in the pot. It doesn't keep boiling over, and you just keep over and over and over again. You have to keep doing the same thing. And that's kind of a problem with us human beings in general, and that sometimes we take our eyes off of that which is most important, and we focus on things that are lesser, of lesser importance. We stop being vertically oriented towards God, towards heaven, and we start becoming horizontally oriented towards the things around us, the material world, the people around us, and those occupy all of our time, concern, care, and all this kind of stuff. And what that does in the long run is it shortchanges us, of course, because we're called to something greater, but it also makes this world and what it is the apex of everything for me, that this is it, this is all there is. That's bad news, because this world is very, very imperfect, just like we all are. And so the real thing is that we as people of faith, people who say we believe in God, always have to make sure we're oriented in the proper direction, that we're headed towards God. That all the things we have are good. Stuff is nice. We all like having things. I don't think anybody likes not having something. We like to have stuff, and things are good in general. But the problem becomes when we start to let those things be the measure of who we are and how we live and the choices we make only. It's we see it in our world right now. I mean, this idea that, you know, everything has to go all the time. There always has to be something happening, even with work. Sunday, basically, is just a day for work now. pretty soon it's going to be considered a business day, I reckon. I mean, is it really necessary too? Has it helped us advance peace in the world or good things or anything like that? No, at all. It's made us more stressed out and worried and anxious than ever before. But yet we still keep thinking that if we work more, we get more, we have more, then we'll be happy. And we see that that's a bottomless pit we're trying to fill, and it's never going to be full. This idea that, you know, get as much as we can, as quick as we can, for as long as we can, it comes up empty in the end. Because things don't satisfy, that's why we keep having to get more. Money's good, we all like having it. But it's not going to satisfy the deepest desires of the human mind, heart, and soul either, which is why those who have it want more. That's just the way it works, because things cannot satisfy. And this causes a big issue in the long run, because we know that we're not meant just to be here. This is just a part of our lives. And it's a limited part, too, in the grand scheme of things. This is a very small part of our lives. That we're called to something greater. Perfect union with God. For eternity. And that our time on this earth is meant to help us gain that. To use the things of the world in a proper way. To have good lives. To be happy in a sense. As happy as we can be here. But to assist us in moving forward towards God and hopefully leading others towards Him. Because when I take my eyes off the ultimate destination that God created me for, then of course what happens? Then I become so self-absorbed and egotistical that it's about what I want, what I think, what I desire, what I choose. It's all about me then. And that's when we start to make the bigger mistakes that affect you and them and him and her. Because it's about me. The thing is, nobody gets to heaven by accident. You don't just wake up one day, oh, I made it. Huh. Who would have thought, right? You don't go to hell by accident either. You don't wake up, well, I wasn't expecting this. Well, the choices we make now determine where we're going and which way I'm oriented, that's where I'm going to end up. If I'm going down the stairs, I'm going to end at the bottom of the staircase eventually. If I'm going up the stairs, eventually I'll get to the top of the stairs. That's just the way it works. Whichever way my motivation is, that's the way I'm headed here. And so it's learning to properly use the things of this world. But again, we see, you know, some of the issues we struggle with, and we all struggle with things. That's just who we are. A lot of our problems begin when we stop being properly oriented towards God. I mean, all of our addictions at the end of the day, every single one of them that we have, and we all have something, begins with us trying to escape from the reality we're living in at the moment, to get out of the reality for a moment. Why do I want to escape reality? Because I realize it's not perfect. It's not totally fulfilling. That it's not satisfying me completely. We see this with technology a lot. Technology can be good. But what happens when that becomes one of the mainstays of who I am is every single year I have to get more and newest and better and faster and all these things. And has it made me even a little bit holier? Usually not. How do we tell how this mentality has affected us personally? It's pretty easy for all of us to do. Is we take a look back over the past week or even the past couple of days, you know, and how much time did we spend on the internet? The internet's got its uses. There's a lot of evil on it too, though. YouTube. I like to watch YouTube videos sometimes to get a laugh. There's some funny stuff on there. Some interesting things too. But how much time do we spend watching things like that in comparison to how much time did I spend watching things that helped me to grow in my love of God or my knowledge of my faith or things like that? We put those two things in the scale. Which one's heavier? One usually is minutes. The other one usually is hours. The same with television. Television can be good. But how much time do we spend watching television? How much time do we spend watching things that are helping me to grow in goodness and holiness and virtue? How many of the things I watch have no bearing on my eternal salvation whatsoever? That doesn't mean there's nothing wrong with watching TV. There's some good things to watch too. But if there's nothing involved in that part of my life that's going to help me to get to heaven, then which side of the scale is going to be heavier? Reading is the same thing. Listening to things, you know? How much time do I spend reading things or listening to things that help me escape from the moment? How much time do I spend reading and listening to things that help me to grow towards God? Usually, again, hours and minutes. Sometimes days and minutes is the difference here. How much time do we spend planning our weekend or planning our next vacation? How much time do we spend preparing for the holy sacrifice of the Mass by which our salvation is brought about? So these are things that all of us need to ask ourselves, do a good examination of conscience. And that will tell us how much that mindset, the mentality, has been affected by these temptations, by the problems, by the issues that plague the world. How much we've personally been affected by it. And if it's affecting me, it's definitely affecting the people that I'm called to lead or have influence over or give an example to. Then they also will be affected by it. And so the trajectory slowly lowers. And then you stop and place God's love in that lens too. The fact that Christ died just to give us a chance to get to heaven. For just a chance. For just an opportunity. That's how much it means to him. That to even give us a possibility to get there. He's willing to sacrifice everything for us, including his physical mortal life on this earth, by allowing himself to be scourged and beaten and persecuted and betrayed and all these things, just to give us an opportunity. So, you know, it's good for us to take these last few weeks during Lent in particular, but also, you know, do it on a semi-regular basis and weigh these different things on the scales against each other. What's going to God? What's helping me grow even with him? And what's attaching me more and more to the things of this earth? St. Paul says, remember, to be in the world but not be of the world. He's saying to use the thing God creates and gives us around here. They're good. They can be good. They can be used for evil too sometimes. But to not make this our anchor. This is the kind of anchor that drowns you. To not make other people our anchors in the world and in our lives. It's like in the gospel. We just heard that those, you know, we have to go to the light to see things. And when I start to make things or objects, or even other people, the anchor of my life, what happens? We drift. Because they are broken just like us. They are not perfect just like we are not perfect. We're all boats in the storm. The only anchor we'll find is God that will hold us true. So, you know, am I going further into the light? The light of Christ, the light of the truth, the light of my faith. Or has the darkness very slowly kind of crept up on us? Like when we're working outside or something like that all day. How very subtly the dusk kind of creeps up. And before you know it, it's dark. So in order to avoid that happening, we have to be honest with ourselves. And to not try to escape our reality. To not let our addictions and things like that rule us. To not try to forge a virtual reality. That's the big thing with a lot of people. Is they'll escape to online or internet to forge a virtual, a different reality than what they have because this one's not satisfying, so I have to make another one here. And it's never going to satisfy unless the anchor of it all is God, unless the trajectory is towards him. To not risk trying to get to heaven by accident, but to be intentional about it. And so now let us stand and profess our faith.